Sherman agreed, and on January 16, 1865, he set aside the coastlines and riverbanks 30 miles inland from Charleston, South Carolina, as an area where freed black people could resettle. Each family would get 40 acres of land, and they would have a possessory title, as Sherman put it, to the land until such time as Congress would regulate the final title. By the end of June 1865, the military had settled more than 40,000 freed people on that land that Sherman had set aside. 40,000 had settled. That was a start, but the future actions of Congress, of course, would determine their final state. These people were on the land in the short term. The question was, would they be on it in the long term? I think that the United States government's performance in relation to freed black people was a mixed bag. Some successes and some failures. The government was faced with an unprecedented situation where more than 3.5 million slaves were potentially to come under its control. The government found it difficult to put together a well thought out, consistent policy. The U.S. government had never had to handle such a gigantic refugee population. There was no bureaucracy to deal with it. There were no agencies, no departments that were charged with overseeing this massive shift from an enslaved population to a free population. No society anywhere had freed so many slaves at one stroke. No other society had set up anything quite like the Freedmen's Bureau to deal with the newly freed people's problems. Some cruel and exploitive people did great damage to many of the freed slaves. In one especially horrifying episode, officials in Kentucky seized several hundred refugees from Tennessee and Alabama who had followed a Union Army north, attached themselves to the Union Army. Those people had been free in the Confederacy while moving along with the Union Army under the Confiscation Act and the Emancipation Proclamation. But once in Kentucky, they were imprisoned and then sold as slaves. Slavery was still legal in Kentucky. The 13th Amendment still lay a good ways off in the future. So there was exploitation, there was great cruelty. Other people simply treated black people as a resource to be used to further the war effort. But overall, I think the United States effort was about as successful as could be expected, given the time and the circumstances. Now, one of the main ways that the United States government made use of black people as a war resource, of course, was as soldiers in the United States Army. Radical Republicans had called for this from an early point in the war, really from the spring of 1862. The Confiscation Act of July 62 said that the president could use contrabands for the suppression of the rebellion in any way he saw fit. The Militia Act of the same month said essentially the same thing. Those two pieces of legislation gave Lincoln the power to put black men in uniform, give them muskets, but did not require Lincoln to do so, and he was wary of doing so at that point in the war because he worried about the reaction of the border states. He preferred to use these men as laborers at that point. But by the early days of 1863, Lincoln was ready to move. As he put it, the colored population is the great available and yet unavailed of force for restoring the Union. The bare sight of 50,000 armed and drilled black soldiers upon the banks of the Mississippi, said Lincoln, will end the rebellion at once. Soon the War Department had a Bureau of Colored Troops to oversee recruiting. In Louisiana, General Banks began to form what he called his Corps d'Afrique. And elsewhere in Union-occupied territory, enlistment of black men went forward. It went forward in Nashville, and it went forward in New Orleans, and it went forward in parts of Virginia and North Carolina. General Lorenzo Thomas was sent to the Mississippi Valley to recruit black men for Union service, and by the end of the war, he had enrolled 76,000, more than 40% of those 180,000 or so who would serve in the Union Army. Now, I don't want to put too rosy a picture on this. Many of those men who were recruited were, in effect, not given a choice. They were really drafted into the United States Army. Many volunteered freely, but at least a number did not. The black military experience was very different from that of white soldiers in important ways.